Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
I don't think that we should underestimate what that could mean. Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
In case you're looking for a Kinko's, I believe it's now FedEx Kinko's. So if you're looking for that, you're not going to find a regular Kinko's. I think FedEx bought it. Look for the FedEx store, I guess, at this point. Be sure to check out Stu Does America. We had a podcast feed, and this show is on it every day. So you should get that. Like, let's say you're a YouTube listener, viewer, and you're like, well, why would I go over to the audio side and subscribe to the audio feed of the show? That just sounds stupid. And what I would say to that is, it's not stupid to me, because it helps us support the show. So help you. We really do appreciate it when you do things like that. It is a completely free series, of course, and also it includes the State of the Race. Now, if you're on YouTube, you don't get the State of the Race because it's audio only. So go over and subscribe to it. State of the Race, more episodes coming up. Probably another one this week, at least, maybe two. Okay, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to hit the bell for notifications every time we post new content, including when we go live on big developing news stories. We've been doing that quite a bit lately. Also, comedy bits up there posted. We've got a Hamas bit coming up the next week or two. Some people might find it a tad offensive. I'll just say that. Glenn Beck is going to be here with some disturbing information about the Democrats, which could basically be the tease for any segment he's ever done on this program. Just throwing that out there. Donald Trump faces another indictment. I've got the latest. I'm sure it's not politically motivated, but we're going to start by doing Project 2025. And I've been wanting to do this monologue for a while because it's in the news all the time. It's like the only thing that Democrats talk about. And as we've covered, it really kind of has nothing to do with Donald Trump. We'll get into the details of that here in a second. But I first wanted to point out, we have some breaking news on the campaign. It's a big day. First of all, it's 62 big days and since Kamala Harris has actually done an interview, but that should theoretically end tomorrow, kind of, sort of. I don't know. You know what? I think we were talking about ending this tomorrow, and as I'm saying it, I don't think we do. Because this interview, she had to have an interview buddy. You know, when you go swimming, you have a swimming buddy. Or maybe you're holding your hands when you cross the street when you're like 7. That's what she's doing in this interview. All this time, over 60 days with no interview, and she's pulling Tim Walz in to be her interview buddy. It is pathetic. Harris and Walz will sit with CNN for the exclusive first joint interview since the campaign began. And I will say, I did post a Twitter poll on this. Dana Bash is going to be doing the interview, and I asked the question, do you think the tone of this interview with Harris and Walz will match the tone of the interview Dana Bash had with J.D. Vance? And it was actually a really close poll. It was like 50.3% said no, and 49.7% said no. It was a lot closer than I expected when I came up with the idea for the poll. Okay, Harris campaign is going to launch a Project 2025 ad blitz to run on Election Day. And to finish my thought on the interview before I forget it, because I'm telling this, I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered here. She doesn't get the graphics don't stop until she does an interview by herself. If somebody else, if Barack Obama's sitting next to her, if her lawyer's sitting next to her, if she's got 14 other congressmen sitting in a panel with her, none of that counts as an interview. Her and a journalist, one-on-one, our press conference, her versus the press. That's what I want. So no, it's not just 62 days. We're going 63 tomorrow. We're continuing it until she does one by herself. That's the final ruling of this program. Okay, Project 2025. This is their big ad blitz. They keep talking about it all the time. This is what's going to happen. if they get into office. And you may have noticed that not all the things they're saying about Project 2025, this is what it, by the way, this is a real book. It's, I think it's 291 pages, A Mandate for Leadership. And about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I decided, hey, you know, I'm going to start looking into this and just do, like, I'm going to pull all these claims from the internet and say, hey, are these true or are these false? And then I got about, you know, a few hours into that project and just realized the Dispatch had already done it. Like, really, a really thorough job. You should totally read the story from the Dispatch. It's called Viral Claims About the Project 2025 Are Mostly False. And I thought today maybe we'd spend some time going through some of these because it's important to know what Project 2025 is and what it isn't. What it isn't is a Donald Trump plan that he asked for to, and what he's going to do when he gets in the White House. That is not what it is. We've mentioned this before. I'll go through it quickly. The Heritage Foundation is a think tank. What think tanks do is they come up, they're like idea factories, and they come up with plans that if you happen to get into power, you try to put in and try to make them come to fruition. The Heritage Foundation has been doing this, I mean, at least since the 80s, but going back even farther than that, really, where they came up with specific plans where they would come to the incoming Republican president and say, hey, this is what we think we should do here. Here's our ideas. Implement them, please. And the president will say, yes, no, yes, no, 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 yes, no. That's how that works. So some of these things Donald Trump obviously would like. Some of the Democrats' big point of contention here is that a bunch of people who used to work for Donald Trump now work over there. But you know what? This is going to be shocking. But a lot of conservative people who've worked in politics worked for Donald Trump. Like, that is not a surprise at all that a bunch of people would be working over there. Some of the people were at high levels. A lot of them weren't. A lot of them were lower level people who are now working over or worked on this project, submitted some idea, worked on some aspect of the project. But Donald Trump has rejected the project. He has said, I've heard some of the things there. I don't like some of them seem crazy to me. Some of them are OK, but I have nothing to do with it. In fact, he's berated it publicly so many times that they actually closed the project down and kind of dismantled it and kind of fired the guy who was at the top of it. It really seems unfair, frankly. Now, I think there's a reason for it. And the reason why the Democrats are dumping money into Project 2025 ads is because, look, it must be testing well. This must be some scary thing that is working with their voters to donate money. So that's why they're doing it. Donald Trump is looking at it and saying, wow, this doesn't look good for me. I don't want anything to do with it. That's why they're running away from it. But they never really had a close connection to it in the first place. That being said, is it really all that bad? Are the things suggested about it actually true? Let's go through some of them here. For example, one of the big claims is that the Project 2025 advocates for ending no-fault divorce. Now, the Dispatch correctly claims that that is true, false. They do not at any point advocate for that. In fact, to be clear and to show you how crazy these Democrat claims have been, ending no-fault divorce isn't mentioned in the entire book. At no point do they talk about it at all. It's not like they, you know, it's kind of mentioned and they hint towards maybe getting rid of it or maybe restricting it in some way. No, it is not mentioned at all in the entire project. These are just things they're saying that are completely true. Now, I will say that's not all the way every one of these things go. We have a complete ban on abortions without exceptions. Well, that is false. And basically, of course, there is language in there about abortion. It does talk about the abortion pill and not allowing that to be used after, I think it's 50 days. It also has kind of generic flowery language about, hey, we should have an administration that stands for life. That's about as close as it gets. Now, I don't know if you've noticed the recent developments here in this particular campaign, but like Donald Trump's not exactly running on being a super duper mega pro-life. Now, I think his record is really good on this. In fact, really, really good, considering how he acted as president. And as someone who, you know, doesn't want Kamala Harris to be president of the United States, I'm really super duper hoping he's basically lying for votes at this point with all the stuff that he's saying. I don't know what to think about it, honestly. I'm very nervous about it. And I will say this. I won't get into the big debate because I know there's a big debate going on seemingly online between pro-life people and people who are, you know, saying, well, I won't vote for Donald Trump because of what he's doing with pro-life. And other people saying, well, if you care about pro-life, you got to vote for Donald Trump. I'm sidestepping that complete thing. And you got to look, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. You're an adult. Okay, figure out what you want to do on your own. But what I will say is what makes me incredibly concerned about this development is that right now, rhetoric-wise, there's really only one side you stand, at least in the past, there's always been one side standing for life, and that's been the Republicans. The way right now the Trump campaign is talking, it's basically no one now. Now, I believe that if Trump is president, he will advocate for the same sorts of policies he advocated for when he was president before. And he had a good record on pro-life causes. But rhetoric matters, too. And I wonder about, I think there's a good argument to be made. Really smart people have made it. On the conservative side, people who care about the pro-life issue, who say, look, it's not a popular issue right now. You know, keep your powder dry. Don't play the abortion game right now because it's going to be a real problem. And if he loses, it's going to get much, much worse for the case of life. And that, I think, you could argue with parts of that analysis, but I think largely there's some truth in that. The problem, though, is if you look, I don't know, 100 years into the future, if there are no sides of the argument, if the norm is to hide from the pro-life argument, which is what Republicans are doing right now, if that becomes the norm, no one will be advocating for life. And whether you win this election or not, that issue becomes a dead issue. And I mean dead issue literally. So we just have to be careful here. I don't know. I will say that my preference would be to talk about life because it's really important. Anyway, okay, additional tax breaks for corporations and the 1%. This is claimed about Project 2025. Is that true? Yeah. And I wanted to make sure that we bring to you some of these things that are true, because some of the stuff they're saying about Project 2025 is true. Yeah, they're going to cut tax cuts. Yeah, the top 1% and corporations will feel it. And let me give you the details on this. They are saying they would lower taxes above $168,000. From, I think, 37% to 30%. Okay? Now, everyone under 168,000 would pay only 15%. So it would be a big tax cuts for almost all those people, except the people that may, you know, maybe paid no income tax at all. But you're talking about 30% instead of 37%. You know me, I don't have the cup in front of me, but I want to repeal the 16th Amendment. I want it to be 0%, okay? 37 to 30, is it that big of a deal to me? Absolutely not. But yes, it would help people in the 1%, and a lot of other people, by the way, but also in the 1%. Corporations, same thing. It's at 21% now. They want to lower it to 18%. That policy has been successful, by the way. Business development has increased since those tax cuts came in. Keeping them permanent or extending them to 18% would be a real positive for the economy. Not that the Democrats actually care about that. Higher taxes for the working class, partly false. And this goes back to what I was just saying about the $168,000. There are some people who pay $0 in taxes. This plan, Project 2025, would advocate a 15% tax rate under $168,000 and change. So the people who are paying basically nothing might have a small increase. I've got news for you. There's no chance those people are going to be paying taxes. It would not be politically feasible even if they attempted to do this. Now, I think there is a real argument for people to have some skin in the game. And, you know, the fact that we just kind of exempted a bunch of people from having to pay the income tax means they don't care what the rates are. And that's not necessarily a positive thing. But at the end of the day, politically feasible, no, it's not. So even if they did pitch it, which they did, and it would only affect a very few people, and it would only be a very slight tax increase, but still, that is still partially true. Would they raise the retirement age? This is something that they've been claiming forever. You know, if you wanted to make this claim about Paul Ryan back in the day, you could make the argument that he argued for that at times. He had a bunch of different plans. He's now long gone. In fact, he seems to have no love in the party whatsoever for those plans. Donald Trump ran explicitly on not calling for any cuts to any of these programs. So it's completely absurd to think that he would be doing it. And by the way, the Project 2025 does not even mention it. Okay, so that's not even advocated for whatsoever. Cutting Social Security, same exact thing, no mention of it whatsoever in the 290-some-odd pages. Cutting Medicare, no, it doesn't ask for that at all. It does talk about, you know, cutting fraud and abuse, things like that, which has kind of been standard procedure for a long time when it comes to Republicans, but it does not talk about getting rid of Medicare. Ending the Affordable Care Act. I wanted to highlight this one. This one's partly false, is what the Dispatch says. And I would agree, but I want to make a major addendum to that. It's pathetic that the far right wing policy proposals, supposedly, in the Project 2025, they don't even advocate for getting rid of the ACA, Obamacare. This was something that every Republican ran on for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, including Donald Trump in 2016. And yet here we are in 2024, where not only is the president no longer arguing for that, the too far to the right policy proposals that are not even associated with the president aren't even arguing for it. Now, there are some changes to it that they want to make, but they don't even argue get rid of it. In fact, they do not call to repeal the ACA outright. They just talk about separating the subsidized exchange from the non-subsidized exchange. Wow. I mean, you want to get extreme. I guess that's really extreme now. By the way, I still advocate for just getting rid of it. That's it. You don't even want to know what Stu's Project 2025 looks like. You want to talk about politically unfeasible and non-palatable. Ooh, you'd love my campaign. I would get no votes, but you'd love it. It would be lots of fun. How about eliminate the Department of Education? This one is true. Yeah, they are. This is also what Ronald Reagan advocated for. I don't think the Department of Education has made a good name for themselves, but this is a great example of something. If we were an honest freaking country that we could talk about and argue about, the media could say, hey, they actually want to end the Department of Education. And the Republicans could say, yeah, we do. And this is why. Remember the whole COVID thing? Remember how teachers wanted, or Randy Weingarten wanted to keep you and teachers out of schools? Remember that whole thing? Remember all the DEI and the CRT and all that stuff? Yeah, we think the Department of Education sucks. That would be a great debate to have. We can't, of course, have it because tomorrow, I think Kamala Harris will release an ad saying she wants to also eliminate the Department of Education. By the way, my understanding is Trump does not, I don't think Trump is advocating for this at all. That being said, use public taxpayer money for private religious schools. Yes, that is another thing the project does advocate for. And it talks basically about school choice. You should be able to take your tax dollars and you should be able to move them to whatever school that you want to. I happen to send my kids to religious schools. And you know what I don't like about that process? Paying twice. I don't like paying for them at religious schools and paying for their public school seat that is unoccupied. That does not sound fun to me at all. I don't appreciate doing it at all. I do it because I think it's important. But do I like paying double? No, I don't like paying double. I think it sucks. And you know what? School choice is one of the most popular programs being floated right now across the country. It's made massive gains. We've talked to Corey DeAngelis about it many, many times, among others. Bottom line is, it's really, really, they're trying to make that sound scary. Oh, God, they're giving money to religious people? How dare they? At the end of the day, school choice legislation is very popular, so they're hiding it behind that headline. They don't want you to think about what it actually is. Teach Christian religious beliefs in public schools. How about that? That sounds bad. And it does it. But beyond that, that's not even advocated for in Project 2025. End free and discounted school lunch programs. This is partly false. This is another good one, because basically what they're advocating for here is saying, hey, if we have free school lunch for kids, it should only go to the kids who actually need the help. So you don't give it to all the kids. You don't give it to Bill Gates' kids. Of course, he's probably sending his kids to public schools. I don't even know how old they are. Bottom line is, rich people's kids should not get free lunch at schools. Give that to the kids who freaking need it. If they want it, they should apply for it and get it so they can eat. Okay, fine. But don't give it to rich kids for free. That's dumb. That's what they're advocating for. Ban African-American and gender studies at all levels of education. Obviously, as you would obviously guess, that is a complete and total lie. Do they talk about not teaching racism, i.e. DEI and CRT? Yes, they talk about that, but not all African-American education. Ban books and curriculum about slavery. That one is, of course, obviously, as you would know, false. Increase Arctic drilling. Another good one. True. Republicans, conservatives care about this. Project 2025 mentions we should drill more in where we have our resources. Do it safely. Do it respectfully to the environment. But we should do that more. No surprise there. Donald Trump is advocating for that policy, as far as I know. He did try to make that a little bit more aggressive when he was president. I think he would try it again.
good point of contention there. If you want to come and argue about that, that's probably making a lot of sense. Deregulate big business and the oil industry. True, there's a lot of deregulation. Trump runs on that all the time. Another good example of something you could talk about. Talk about with actual differences, not just lies. And marriage equality. This is false. And it's another example that's like the Obamacare example. How many years ago? I don't know, 15 years ago? The Republican Party was making a big deal about their opposition to same-sex marriage and saying, you know, look, we should have marriage means one man and one woman. Now, there's not one. Honestly, I can't think of one single politician advocating for that right now. And by the way, neither does Project 2025. It's not even mentioned in there. Mass deportation of immigrants and incarceration in camps. This is partly false because, of course, they are going to they want to deport people who have broken the law. That is true. People who are illegal immigrants should be deported. It doesn't necessarily say that in Project 2025, but it does hint at proposals that would lead to more deportations. Obviously, putting people in camps is not a proposal, but this is somewhat consistent with what Donald Trump wants to do. And birthright citizenship. This is something Trump has talked about before, but it's not talked about in Project 2025. That is false. Ban Muslims from entering the country. Obviously, as you would know, any idiot would know, this is not mentioned in Project 2025. And is not advocated even by Donald Trump, whose supposed Muslim ban was nothing of the sort. Eliminates federal agencies like the FDA, EPA, and NOAA. This is partly false. He does not talk. The project does not talk at all about eliminating the FDA or EPA. By the way, you want to talk to me? My project? We'd have a conversation. It's certainly about the EPA. But the FDA, I did a monologue about this a long time, does basically much, much less than you think they do. The NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, I can't remember the exact, something like that. Anyway, they do talk about maybe moving that around, breaking it up into different agencies, maybe not doing all the things that they do currently. So there's a little bit of truth there. Put more guns in schools through arming teachers. This is completely false, not even mentioned. Restrict access to STDs and IVF. False. I mean, what are you talking about? No, this is just nonsense. We've talked about it 100 times. And repeal, I like this one, repeal the Civil Rights Act of 1964. No, they're not doing that. That is not something that is in Project 2025 or mentioned by basically any Republican. Now, I will again redirect you to the Dispatch article on this. It is an excellent article. It goes through much, much more than I was able to cover here, especially with my extended rants about each one of these topics. But it's important to know what this is and what it isn't. And finally, it's not right to blame the Heritage Foundation for trying to do their work. They did a fine job here. They came up with a bunch of proposals. Donald Trump can reject or accept whatever he wants. It's kind of silly. The Democrats have just taken this as an issue and made it into this big thing when it isn't. It's the normal course of business in Washington. And frankly, they're trying to get more mileage out of this thing than it's worth. So if you haven't seen the news, the bird flu is back. Yeah. Oh, what a great time. Oh, we got bird flu. We got monkeypox, COVID. There's new variations of COVID. So much going on right now. I feel like every other day there's just a new story. I saw two things. One was like, there's this new virus out there doctors are worried about. And I started thinking, oh, God, not this again. And then I saw another one that said, squish this bug on site. I was like, what do you mean squish this bug on site? It was some red, like, butterfly looking thing. It just said squish this bug on site. That's a terrifying headline. Why? Why do we have to do that? There's something going on. Anyway, you can do something to fight back. I don't know about the squishy bug thing. I don't know if the Jace case can help you with that. I don't know. I don't know if they have that kind of medication in there. But I will tell you that the Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. Bacterial infections used to kill people like all the time, and then antibiotics came around and all of a sudden that's changed. Guess what happens if supply chains blow up and you can't get your hands on these things? We're in trouble once again. Emergency use, a Jace case is something you should just have. Just have it in your house, just in case you need it. And they are hosting an exclusive giveaway where you can win a Jace case for life. So even if you're thinking, I don't really have the cash to punk down for one of these things right now, That's fine. Why not win one for free for life every year for the rest of your life? No purchase is necessary. Don't miss out. It's a giveaway going on only until August 31st, which is only a few days away. So check it out. Jace.com/stew. Jace.com/stew. If you're ordering a Jace case, enter the code stew at checkout and get a discount on your order. The promo code is stew at jace.com. jace.com/stew. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Joined once again by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is Glenn Beck Exposes Terrorist Sympathizers Infiltrating the Democratic Party. Be sure to stay tuned. Glenn from the ranch in Idaho, how are you?
I'm good, Stu. I'm doing the special tonight, and I'm starting with a chalkboard that, 13 years ago I put up at Fox. And said, I think almost every day for about a year, the communists, the socialists, the Islamists, anarchists will work together to go after capitalism, Israel, and destabilize the world.
Yeah, Glenn, let me. We have that clip here quickly. Let's show people. Let's take people back in the time tunnel for a moment.
I put this up and said, radicals, Islamists, communists, and socialists will work together against Israel, against capitalism, and work together to overturn stability. There are radicals, globalists, Islamists, all working together. Radicals, Islamists, communists, and socialists will work together against Israel, work against capitalism, work together to overturn stability. Let it be my tombstone. I was hammered for it. Radicals, Islamists, communists, socialists, all working together against Israel. This has nothing to do with Israel. This has everything to do with freedom.
Let it be my tombstone. That's an amazing part of that clip. So before we go into how this ties into today, bring me back to that time. Why did you think that? How did this come to you?
I don't know. That might have been one of those, I'm pretty sure it was, that was given to me in a prompting or divinely, I think. I just saw that, the people that were uber left, like Code Pink, were standing up for the Palestinians. They have nothing in common. That's Hamas. They have nothing in common. I saw that the anarchists could stand right next to Code Pink, that the globalists would be for Iran. What? And so the theory developed that, they'll all work to collapse. They all have the same goal, collapse the Western world. And so they'll all work to collapse the Western world. And then after that's done, they'll feast on each other because all of them think, oh, we'll win in the end. And I'll tell you who's going to win. It's the Islamists. They will win. I'll let you know.
That's going to be a fascinating movie to watch. See that play off. Unfortunately, we won't be around to watch it.
No.
So give me a sense as to, how this ties into today. I mean, I feel like we see that. I mean, the first thing that popped into my mind when you started talking about this morning was Queers for Palestine. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever on the surface, but maybe it makes a little more sense than we think.
It makes sense if you're trying to collapse the world. If you're trying to collapse the Western world, collapse colonialism, it makes total sense. You're not for I'm going to go over and live with Hamas. I'm not going to go live in Iran. But both Hamas and Iran want to collapse the United States and Israel. So they're my friend right now. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And how this all ties in today is we're going to show you the direct links to the Harris administration and the Biden administration and Harris in particular and her running mate. We'll show you the radical leftists Marxists, and most likely today we're focusing just on the Islamicists. And if you watch what's happening in Europe, if you could just, can you start that clip and then just freeze it for a second? Let me show you something that's
I put this up and said, radicals, okay. Islamists, communists, and socialists.
Freeze it. Okay. What is part two? You see that?
It's kind of, you're in the way there. Let's see.
Riots become contagious.
Yeah. They cascade.
So, yes. So what you're seeing in Europe right now is going to cascade here in America. So if anybody really wants to know what life in America is going to be like very soon, just watch England. Watch what's happening in Germany. Watch what's happening in France. Watch what's happening in Sweden. That's what our life will be like very soon, within the next 12 months.
Now, we're told that Kamala Harris is actually a border hawk. And she,
oh, of course she is.
She's just, I mean, she's really has seemingly no beliefs, but all the beliefs she does have are the same as Donald Trump's. What ties do we have to the Harris administration with all this? I mean, this, you could obviously make the argument that, you know, these are have been more intellectual movements and honestly terrorist movements over the past. How is the Harris Biden administration tied in?
I'm going to explain it all tonight in great detail, but I'll go into a little bit here. The uncommitted national movement, okay? On day one at the DNC, this uncommitted national movement was there, invited by the Harris campaign. And what they want is an arms embargo on Israel. Now, Harris says that she is not willing to do that. However, they've said that they met with her and she is willing to do that. I don't know. But the ties with her and the ties with Walls are extraordinary. You'll see a tie tonight, a direct tie to a guy who is an Islamicist, an imam, who praises Hitler, who loves Hitler. And somebody that Tim Walz really respects. Now, I don't know anyone that respects anyone that respects Hitler. Do you? I mean,
no, it's kind of a friendship ender, I feel like.
Right, it is. You know, this guy's great. I mean, he loves Hitler, but he's great. No.
No.
No, I don't think I want him over to my house. But he's invited right into the living room.
Amazing. All right. These details are on tonight's program. Don't miss it. 9 p.m. Eastern here on Blaze TV. I want to switch gears a little bit, Glenn, because you threw out a really funny phrase today, something that only you would say, which was, you know, I had Dennis Quaid at the ranch the other day and we were talking. No one says something like that just out of
it is weird.
It is a very weird life that you live. He is in the new movie Reagan, and this is a movie that you came to me, I don't know, it feels like 5 years ago, talking about the development. Was it that long?
It was 10 years.
10 years ago, they've been trying to develop this film. And I got to say, when you first told me about, you know, an idea of a Hollywood Reagan movie, I kind of figured it was going to be like one of those bad, like made for TV, you know, maybe some conservative organization makes it and there's no good actors in it. That is not what this thing turned out to be at all.
No, so that's what my fear was. Now, remember, 10 years ago, we weren't making good conservative movies, okay? So when they came to me 10 years ago and said, I've got this movie, I want to make it, it'll be my life's work, and it's about Reagan, I went, And he convinced me that it was going to be big budget and, you know, big stars in it. And I said, And about a year into it, he convinced me that he was going to get it done some way or another. And we've been going back and forth now for 10 years. And it's amazing to see it in its I haven't even seen it in its final cut. When I saw it, you know, it was still some of it was on green screen and everything else. And even that, when I saw it that way, it was good. It was really good. And Dennis Quaid is amazing in it.
Yeah, because Dennis Quaid initially was, you know, when he was offered this role, wasn't sure he even wanted to take it. Why?
Because he's a huge fan. He said Ronald Reagan is his hero, his idol. He loved him as president. You know, he said, I was a Jimmy Carter supporter, and that went bad. We all make mistakes. He said, and then I saw Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan, I mean, a lot of who I am and what I believe came from Ronald Reagan. And he said, I didn't want to do him a disservice. I didn't want people just to see me and go, oh, well, he tried to pull that off. He said, I really wanted to do justice to Reagan. And I think he does. I think he really does. And it gets into every part of his life, his early part of his life when he was married, I think, to Jane Wineman, wasn't he? And she was just awful. And, you know, it's funny because Dennis was saying to me, you know, because her career was going up as here his career was going down, which is never a good mix. He said in Hollywood, he said, honestly, you know, that's why, you know, what happened to Meg and I. And I'm like, Meg. Oh, my gosh, he was married to Meg Ryan. I had completely forgot about that. So how long has he been in our lives? But you can see it at ReaganMovie.com. You have to buy your tickets. It's in theaters now at ReaganMovie.com. It's really, really good.
Yeah,
really
I'm really excited and to go see it this weekend.
So we did the interview in, you know, the I don't know, Great Hall or whatever you would call it, in the ranch. And we have a piano in the ranch. And the whole ranch is made for something that I think I'm going to start next year. We're going to do musical artists and big names up here in the ranch. And so I wired it all for recording and sound and everything else. We have a beautiful piano in there. And we were talking, and at one point he got up and he walked over to the piano and he said, do you mind? And I said, no. And he played Great Balls of Fire. It was amazing. He was standing like Jerry Lee Lewis because he played that. He learned how to play the piano and learned how to become addicted to cocaine from Jerry Lee Lewis. I mean, it was remarkable. It's really a cool interview.
Yeah, and is that available, or where do people
Thursday.
Find it? It's this
Thursday on Blaze.
So tomorrow. Oh, wow. Okay, so this is a big one.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, you got the Dennis Quaid interview. That leads you perfectly into watching Reagan this weekend. Glenn Beck, his new special is coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. Glenn Beck exposes terrorist sympathizers infiltrating the Democratic Party. It's possible that might depress you, but with the Reagan stuff should lift you up by the weekend, so you should be fine.
No, it should motivate you.
It should motivate you.
This is final call. Lights out after this if we don't do everything we can.
Get all this. And you get the podcast early, right, on Blaze TV if you're a subscriber?
Yeah, you'll get tomorrow, I think, even in maybe in the morning or early afternoon, they'll drop it on Blaze TV. And then if you miss it, then you could watch it on YouTube on Saturday or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, blazetv.com/Stu. Promo code is Stu. You'll save $20. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. You bet.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
We have major breaking news when it comes to the Trump assassination attempt today. And we have, I mean, we've been like, where's the information on this? How come we don't know anything? Finally, we know something major. The Trump shooter believed to have used an air conditioning unit to get on the roof. That's the big breaking news on the Trump assassination. Where he stepped before he got on the roof. Banned air conditioning units. That's what I say, except for the fact we live in Texas and we would all commit suicide within a week. Trump has been charged again. Yay! In a superseding indictment in the election interference case following the SCOTUS ruling. So, you know, they had this is the Jack Smith stuff. it came down on him on the January, this is on the January 6th case, the federal January 6th case, to keep all this stuff somewhat understandable and separate. This was very close to the deadline where the Department of Justice says they wouldn't interfere with an election. We're like right there in the deadline, right before that deadline, which is self-imposed, but still has been around for a while. They just threw this out there. And so there's another indictment. This won't happen until after the election, so it's not that big of a deal. But it is kind of I don't know, somewhat hilarious. I kind of that they're even trying this anymore. But I will say one thing that's interesting is we talked to someone today, and it made me think of the potential of, we still have this thing kind of hanging over our heads in a couple weeks that Donald Trump might go to jail. How wild would that be? He's been convicted, remember, on all these counts. They could theoretically still throw him in jail. Now, in any normal circumstance, that wouldn't happen. But with Donald Trump, I think there's a possibility, especially if Trump makes a run here in the next couple of weeks. If Trump is up by 3 or 4 points and the Harris side of things, Biden side of things, thinks Harris is behind, then I think there's a real chance that this actually happened. It's right after the debate, too. So if the debate goes really badly for Kamala, you could see them doing something like this. This is how strictly, I mean, it is all politics to me on this. So the other thing I thought about is, wouldn't it be fascinating if they didn't put him in jail? Because I do think that could actually rebound on them and make them look even worse, and it could hurt the Democrats. What if they put him in house arrest? Couldn't you see this? Where they put him in house arrest, and then he's just stuck doing video interviews, can't do any rallies, can't, you know, go anywhere. If there was another debate, wouldn't be able to go to it. He's wearing an ankle bracelet. Couldn't you see this as possible? And then it would be like basement campaign versus basement campaign. So I guess that would be kind of interesting. And finally, Democrats and Republicans are greeting the new COVID spike with a collective shrug. Now, this is fascinating for many different reasons. Now, of course, conservatives and Republicans, since the beginning, obviously have been less restrictive on COVID and treated it in a different way. No surprise that Republicans wouldn't be looking at this. The Democrats, though, I don't understand. I mean, I thought they all wanted to wear like 500 masks, and this was the most dangerous thing ever. They're talking about, you know, about 2,000 people died, I think, in July from that. That still sucks, right? Like, it's, you know, it's just like the flu. It can be devastating to especially older people or people who are particularly vulnerable to it. That being said, it was like 2,000 a day at the peak, right? So it is a totally different scenario, and we're treating it the right way, right? We're treating it as something that's there. We all know it's there. Sometimes we miss work because we're sick. That happens. But at the end of the day, we move on with our lives. There's risk in life. We move on with our lives. It's the way it should have been treated long before this, but seemingly the Democrats are finally on board as well. We talked about Glenn Beck, and he was on the show earlier. He partnered with Moms for Liberty, which is a great organization. And they have a situation called Moms for Libraries, I believe it's called. And we talked about this on the air. You could donate money. If you donated money to Moms for Liberties, they were helping to place Glenn's new book, Chasing Embers, around the country in libraries so that kids could actually read it. Really cool program. And of course, Media Matters has now come out with a scathing report that Glenn is profiting off of this. Now, first of all, I don't like Media Matters. I think they're a bunch of bad people, but I do like that picture of Glenn. Makes him look like a really sad Looney Tunes character. I don't know what it is. I really like it. But that being said, it's nonsense as usual. Glenn has donated all of his proceeds from this entire thing to Moms for Liberty. Plus, he's made multiple donations. I don't understand what, I mean, of course, they don't know what they're talking about. It's no big surprise. But I will tell you, Chasing Embers is available in bookstores everywhere. If you've got a teenager who might like this, I think they'll really appreciate the book. Check it out. We talked about this earlier on the show with Glenn Beck, but coming tomorrow for Blaze TV subscribers. Check it out.
Today we're joined by actor Dennis Quaid, a man that not only brings Ronald Reagan to life on the silver screen in his new film, Reagan,
Tear Down This Wall,
but who also shares a personal journey of restoration.
You know, when I found myself in bad situations, it was all my own fault. So.
We talk about everything from cocaine.
It's fun, then it's fun with problems. And then it's just problems.
To Christ.
And I came to realize what a personal relationship with Jesus Jesus Christ is all about.
But as we shoot the breeze here at my ranch, an old homestead brought back to life from the dust and echoes of the past, we're not just discussing a film. We're pondering whether the restoration Reagan believed in can still happen today.
Oh, man, this is going to be a really good one. Dennis Quaid on the podcast. If you are a Blaze TV subscriber, blazetv.com/stew, promo code is stew. You get that a couple days early. You get it tomorrow. If not, you can watch it on YouTube. I think it's on Saturday. So check that out. And the Reagan movie comes out this weekend. Well worth your time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.